A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 20th of August, 2020, Thursday class. We will be continuing from where we stopped. We are at a new chapter, lesson 38, page 188. So you will look at the numbers. The 8 tend to appear. So it's significant in the sense that the Cantonese from the sound of fa 8, fa is like you become prosperous, lucky. So it so happened, coincidental. Lesson 38, page 188. So hopefully the Dhamma also will make you all prosperous in your understanding and progress along the path of Dhamma. Then just relax body and mind, and make sure you have a comfortable, stable posture to develop the awareness meditation. So, as usual, I will repeat what is important. When you meditate, you must meditate with understanding. What are you intending to do? The main purpose and intent of this awareness-based meditation is to train your mind to be aware first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. When you are ever mindful, you can use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. When you do that, you become heedful, apamada. And when you are heedful throughout the day, you are destined for enlightenment. So meditation is very simple when you remember this important focus. Means whatever you do, you check. Are you training your mind to be mindful? Stabilizing it to be ever mindful until mind enters the deep. Then are you using this silent mind, the meditative mind, to meditate? Then the fourth support, relax, maintain awareness. When you relax and maintain awareness, the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the whatever activity of mind or heedless thinking, they will slow down. Because you maintain awareness, you will come to realize the original state of mind before the stirring. And that is your true mind. That is the mind that can meditate, that can understand. So basically, it's very simple. So just do that, okay? So now you're off the light. Then you can develop the understanding and train your mind to be mindful and stabilize it. Whatever skillful means, technique or method that can help you, if you need to use it, use it. Otherwise, if your spiritual faculties are stable, you technically don't need all this skillful means, method or technique. You just relax, maintain awareness, you will be in the meditative state. You have the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, they are all beautiful meditative mind state. Saddha, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi and Panya. So these are beautiful mind state. So train your mind to have this spiritual faculty. Then stabilize it to automatically develop the meditative mind. Then to meditate is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness, and you are in the meditative state. Okay, now we can start our sutta class sharing. Turn to page 188. We are at lesson 38. 1.1. Form Dhamma and Mind Dhamma. So this is a recap. Last Tuesday, we went through this. It is important to understand what is form Dhamma and what is mind Dhamma. For example, I'm a religious person. My religion said I cannot take certain type of meat. which is not permitted. I cannot touch or use the bowls or utility that contain this type of meat used by people of other religion. Then by the same logic, they shouldn't be breathing the air that the people of other religion have breathed, or use the money that they have used. This style of action put emphasis only on external form dhamma. That is, they only deal with the form and are not able to see the mind as yet. Form has so much meaning to them, hence they can be deluded by it. And it is because of their attachment to form dhamma that condition them to cling to the external form and identify with them as right and wrong, spiritual or non-spiritual. So more often than not, if we are not careful, we can get trapped in form dhamma, because form dhamma is not the reality. Form dhamma is conventional reality. Yeah. What is important is the mind. Like the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So it's more important to look at mind, the mental intention behind all of your actions, speech, and thought process. And all this happens at the mind level. So if you are not able to see mind, then you go and focus on form. You have got everything wrong. Because the mind is the one that makes the decision. The decision is what mental intention is all about. Good and evil come from mind. Doesn't come from the external form. So when we deludedly grasp and cling at form dhamma, we fail to see mind dhamma. Then we fail to understand the importance of mind. Like the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So if you don't focus on mind, you don't develop the understanding of the mind, and you cannot see its mental intention, whether wholesome or unwholesome, you can never understand life. You can never understand the Dhamma, the truth. So the danger of form Dhamma is it will not enable you to understand mind Dhamma, and you will miss the cultivation completely. So that's the reason why I want you to understand what is form Dhamma and what is mind Dhamma. So if the emphasis is on form Dhamma, means on the external form, the formality and all, then you get yourself entangled. You didn't go in or zero in onto the ultimate mental intention behind doing such thing. It's just like traffic light. You become rigid. The purpose of traffic light is to regulate traffic. So if you don't understand that, you cling to form Dhamma, you cling to the law. You say the law say traffic light is already rigid and fixed. Red light means stop. Green light go. Yellow light means ready to stop. But some people interpret it as yellow light ready to rush. Then you got more and more confusion. But the understanding is the purpose and intent of that traffic light is like our precept. The purpose and intent behind that precept is more important. If you understand the purpose and intent of traffic light is to regulate traffic, so what happens if the traffic light is out of order? Sometimes it gets itself confused because it's all the time red light. Then you say no. The traffic rule say red light, stop. I must stop. Then you refuse to move. All the traffic all jam up. Yeah, it's just like you go and quote the highest authority. The Buddha say red light, stop. Because you become very rigid. But when it fails to serve the purpose, you have to understand that is not the intent of the Buddha, the precepts. So you have to develop understanding. That's why whatever that is rigid is not the truth. It becomes conventional truth, it becomes form dhamma. But whatever that is based on understanding the reality at the mind level, that one is different. That one you can develop wisdom out of it. Then you can act appropriately. So this is why we have to understand both form dhamma and mind dhamma, and not to be caught in form dhamma. Now we go back to the sharing. Outwardly, they try to become more spiritual, but inwardly at the mind level, they are still very barren. You know what is barren? Don't have anything yet. Like you are a farmer, the soil is barren, no veggie, no fruits, nothing. Because they cannot see their rather latent defilement, evil mental intention and thought process. So when the emphasis is on outward form dhamma, you fail to see your mind, the mental intention. You may still have a lot of evil tendency, evil roots at the mind level. But your emphasis is on the external form. That's why outwardly you try to be spiritual, but inwardly at the mind level you are still barren because you cannot see your rather latent defilement, your evil mental intention and thought process. Another example is when they share this discussion on vegetarian. When you don't understand why are you a vegetarian, then the same problem can arise. Some people are vegetarian because they thought by doing so, they will be more spiritual and compassionate because they don't cause to kill anymore. So that is the thought telling them. There may be some truth in that statement, but you don't have the clear understanding of why you go vegetarian, then delusion can still creep in because you fail to understand the spiritual, you fail to understand that spirituality has nothing to do with what you eat. For spirituality is about cultivating the mind and purification, or purifying it, to develop wisdom, to liberate our mind. Otherwise, all the herbivorous animals, like the cow, the goat, the horses, would have become enlightened because they are vegetarian all the time, for they only eat grass. And the funny part is, what they eat finally become meat too. So if you cannot understand all this and see all this, then you become problematic. The other more important point that one needs to understand is, for the true cultivator of the way, there will come a time for them to go vegetarian naturally. And they will know when and why, for their cultivation has reached the mind level. And they are so sensitive and so clear with their understanding that they are ready to go vegetarian. This is good understanding. But what happens when you don't have this type of understanding? When your understanding and cultivation has not reached this level of refined compassion, then becoming vegetarian like others has not much meaning. And it will make you more it will not make you more compassionate and spiritual. It's like at the form level, you are trying to impress others outwardly that you are vegetarian. But inwardly, at your mind level, your mind is still not ready. It is still so gross and coarse with all the craving, selfishness, anger, hatred, jealousy, violence, ever ready to harm and kill, pettiness, fear, etc. All this you cannot see because you are not mindful, you are not sensitive. So what is going on? What is happening? That's the danger of form Dhamma. This is attachment to form Dhamma and not cultivating the mind Dhamma at mind level to develop the wisdom to understand beyond form Dhamma. This is like some devotee who chant to renew the five precepts but still break them. Outwardly they say, I'm a Buddhist, do you know? I cannot lie, cannot steal or commit sexual misconduct, etc. But then inwardly, are they really a Buddhist? As a true Buddhist, and to be worthy of the Buddha, the minimum we should do is to be able to at least heed the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil by keeping the precepts, cultivating goodness and wholesomeness by cultivating noble eightfold path factors. Then finally, purifying your mind with mindfulness leading to heedfulness. And the next part is to avoid all evil, we must keep the five precepts. We are developing our mindfulness and heedfulness to diligently cultivate the first two right effort. So this is part and parcel of the essential Dhamma, the teaching. If we understand the importance of karma, like what the Buddha said under the five daily contemplation, he always reminded cultivators, especially monks, the five daily contemplation, the last one. He said, always reflect and contemplate. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you look at this truth, this statement, the fifth daily contemplation, then we come to a very important understanding. Our life depends almost entirely on karma, 100%. Why? Because we are born of our karma. Then we inherit everything, heir to our karma. Then every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by our karma. Then every moment, every instant, when we live life, we are what we are because of our karma. So what else can it be? It's definitely 100% karma. So when you understand that, you have to take care of karma if you want to have the good life, because your entire life depends on karma. Then the other aspect of the law of karma that the Buddha mentioned is, this nature's law is cause and effect, moral causation, the mental intention behind. That's why mind dhamma is very important. He said, if you cultivate or plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Or in simple terms, you reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. So after understanding this, what must you do? You have to really take care of karma, so that karma can take care of your life. Without taking care of karma, your life will be miserable. You will be entangled. And through heedlessness, delusion, ignorance, and wrong view, you will create all the heedless thinking, leading to all the evil roots, leading to all the mental hindrance, leading to all the suffering and misery. It will cause your coming downfall. Then when you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it, what will happen? That karmic downfall can give rise to all the adverse misery and suffering that you have to go through. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Understand this and wake up. From now onward, you want to change over from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living, so that you can take care of karma And to do that, the Buddha said you have to heed his advice. How to take care of karma? The Buddha said the advice is very simple. You have to avoid all evil. Where you reap what you sow. If you don't avoid all evil, all this evil tendency will condition evil friction. And you will get into trouble. You look at all the precepts. Why you must keep them? Because if you don't keep them, violating the five precepts constitute five major evils. First precept, take for example. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhi yami. What does it mean? It means the Buddha said you undertake the training rule to train yourself to be ever mindful so that you can avoid killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill? Who will harm? Only selfish people, violent people, deluded people with all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will kill or harm. Otherwise, they don't break this precept. So when you understand this, then you know you reap what you sow. You kill, you harm. In future, there will be condition for people to kill you and harm you. Is that what you want? Is that life? If that is not what you want, and if that is not life, you better wake up. Then you will do your duty properly. You will live life in accordance with the advice of the Buddha. You will avoid all evil. You will only have goodness, wholesomeness, kindness. It's just like if you become a responsible parent, you do your duty, you take care of your family's need, you bring up your children in a very wise and appropriate manner. You care for them, you love them, you don't neglect them. You provide for them, you sacrifice for them, you guide them, you see them through in life and other things. All this will give rise to wholesomeness and merits in the future so that you will have parents who will in the future also take care of you, provide for you, sacrifice for you, and give you all the good life that you have given to your children. So you reap what you sow. So if you want people to be good to you, kind to be to you, sincere to you, you must cultivate all this virtue of goodness, kindness, and sincerity, and honesty. So this is what karma is all about. So you reflect and contemplate on the other precepts, second, third, fourth, and fifth. You will understand that you will never, never violate the precepts. You will keep them. Because this is conducive for your holy life, your good life. When you keep your precepts, I always share this example. We are now under pandemic, you will understand. It's like you're wearing a mask. When you wear a mask during pandemic, what happened? COVID-19. You protect yourself from being affected by the virus. Then at the same time, you protect others, So keeping precept is protecting yourself where you protect yourself from committing evil, arising negativity or coming consequences. Then if you keep your precept, you also don't harm, don't kill, and don't do all those petty nonsense to other people. That's why you not only protect yourself, you protect others too. That's why this keeping of precept, the Buddha said, is a very meritorious action. It's one of the 10 meritorious actions. That's why do not underestimate precept. You can keep your precept strongly, appropriately, and sincerely. Your parami become very beautiful. You will have great virtue. Because you do that, your life is beautiful. If you can't even cause to kill or harm, deceive and cheat, the world will be very peaceful. Society will be very different. But more and more individuals need to have this. So unless all the individual starts to understand this teaching, to get them to change is not easy, where they cannot see clearly at mind level. So they tend to do foolish thing, deluded thing, heedless thing, where they take shortcut. They try to cheat, deceive, take advantage. All these are born of wrong view, self-delusion, evil roots. So whenever you have craving, desire, selfishness, born of wrong view, emotional negativity and delusion, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. So this is the clear understanding that you need. Then we move on. So understanding the importance of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precept is the first step in cultivation. And when you start to do that, you start to change over from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of noble living. So when you do that, you keep your precept, you avoid all evil, you cultivate wholesomeness. So what happened? You take care of karma. Your negativity, negative tendency due to your violation of precept or karmic negativity no more. So in future, no more causes and conditions to condition this type of negative effect. Then at the same time, when you cultivate wholesomeness, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, you become virtuous, you become beautiful, you become spiritual. Spirituality manifests. Then your life take a turn. You transform completely. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you become a blessing to all. You become a very beautiful human being. Then you get to reap the result of your cultivation. That's how everything go your way. You start to inherit wholesomeness, goodness, beautiful condition. And you start to meet good people, no more like before. So karma will take care of your life. And you will have the good life. So this is how you start. Then the next step is, how do you avoid all evil? You need to cultivate and train your mind to be mindful, to be aware of your mental intention. Then you need to understand what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and you have to expand on them, understand them clearly. So that whenever you are aware or mindful that you have mental intention or mind state that has the evil roots, then you know this will lead to karmic negativity. This will lead to downfall. It will cause you to violate the precept. That's how you take care of precept. Then the Buddha in his teaching also teaches four right efforts. The first two deals with defilement, wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. So he said the first right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Unwholesome thought means the thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So to see the arising of this unwholesome thought, you need mindfulness. You need to train your mind to be aware, otherwise you cannot see. You need to have the understanding of what constitutes evil. Then when it has arisen, because you saw it through mindfulness, you are aware, then what must you do? You have to abandon it, isn't it? So how to abandon unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, and action, and wrong livelihood? The Buddha taught us five ways, which are meditative. So the first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. All this you don't have to remember, where it's in the appendix. You can see them towards the later part of the Heart Sutra book. And we will be going through it later too. So the first right effort is to abandon. And there are five ways. First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Means like when you have anger, hatred, fear. You have to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. When you have anger, you have to counter it with loving kindness, metta. When you have metta, you cannot get angry. That's how you overcome it. So like cruelty, when you have compassion, you cannot be cruel. When you have contentment, you cannot be lustful and greedy. So all this is very simple, very easy to develop. Then the second way is, the Buddha said, you have to think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. Your life, is that what you want? If you hold on to your anger, your fear, your delusion, or your emotional negativity, selfishness, and craving, what will happen to your life? You reap what you sow. Your karmic nature will fall. It will give rise to karmic negativity, and you will get yourself entangled. So this is the reason why when you reflect and contemplate on the danger of holding on to all this wrong thought with the evil root, then you determine to abandon it. So the third way is how you can abandon it. The third and the fourth way are the meditative way. They are the most important. So the third way is meditative. The Buddha said you just relax, maintain awareness. When anger arises, hatred arises, fear arises, lust, craving arises, just maintain awareness. Don't do anything. Then find out what happened. It will cease. The very flowering of that emotion or that wrong thought is the very ending of that wrong thought. So you just develop awareness, which is the wisdom energy, the purifying energy that will root out the defilement. You just silence your mind and let your mind return to its original state before the stirring, before the reaction, before you become angry, emotional, and fearful. Then you will come to realize that all these are not intrinsic within your mind state. All these are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising mind state. Means anger was never you. Fear was never you. Delusion was never you. Craving, desire, lust was never you. They arise through sakayadity, self-delusion, through ignorance. Because you believe you exist. When you believe you exist, the personality or the ego arise. Then from there, you act. That's why you want to own things, you want to have things. That's how you arise selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness. Then when you cannot get what you want, you get angry, emotional negativity. Then when you cannot understand, you become fearful. You have fear, worry, anxiety. That is delusion. So the three evil roots manifest because of your wrong view, your self-delusion, that perceive you exist, you are real. That is form and mind, the human being is what you are. So all this understanding is what meditation is all about. When you start to see them with the awareness and the mindfulness, then you realize your true mind has none of all this. Before you get angry, you were peaceful, isn't it? Before fear arise, there was no fear in it. Then how did they arise? Because when you see something, perceive something through your sense door activity, at the moment of sense experience, then you react and stir your mind through wrong view, through delusion, sakayadity, self-delusion. Then the egoic mind arises. See it in the meditation. This is what meditation is all about. Be aware and understand how all this negativity of mind state, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the defilement, the mental hindrance arise to your wrong view. So the problem is not your anger, your hatred, your greed. The problem is your delusion, lack of understanding. So the third way is the best. Relax, maintain awareness, and see how it is. Then you come to understand they are all dependent originating mind state, condition arising, cause of phenomena, exactly like what the Buddha taught us. Paticca-samuppanna, avijja-paccaya-sankhara, sankhara-paccaya-vijnana. So all this, you start to understand. Then you start to develop the wisdom to straighten your view. If anger is not me, why should I feel anger? Why should I force myself to root out anger? I don't have to do that. The mental hindrance, I don't have to do anything with them. Let them be. They are there because I lack the spiritual faculty. I lack the opposite, the wisdom. I lack right view. So what you need to do is develop the spiritual faculty and straighten your view. Then all these are gone. When you are not deluded, when there is no more sakkayadity, no more ignorance, thing is just the way it is. So learn to see things as they are. Learn to accept the reality of the moment that you can be at peace with all things. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So this is the reality. This is wisdom. This is understanding. From there, you can actually develop the ability to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Then you no need to do anything. Through wisdom, through mindfulness, through awareness, through understanding, it free. Then the fourth way is, the Buddha said, to understand further. You must trace the origination factor. How did the evil root of anger arise? Selfishness, craving, and desire or fear arise. So when you are mindful, you can trace. Because before it arise, you were peaceful. Then how did it arise? Then through your mindfulness, you will come to understand it's at the moment of sense experience. Most of the time is when you see something that you don't like, you stir your mind. Or when you hear something that is offensive, you stir your mind. Or when you recall some negative incident, or when you recall your phobia, your scars of memory, your deep resentment and unhappiness. So all this memory is the one that condition you into fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So see it clearly. When you can see it in the meditation, in your daily life, in your daily mindfulness, then you understand. Then like the Buddha say, once you trace the origination factor, means you know through one of your sense, the activity or experience when you encounter them in the midst of life, means at the moment of sense experience, if you don't have the wisdom, the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you will stir your mind. That's why after you straighten your view, it becomes your initial wisdom, your understanding. And this one, the Buddha says, is very important. Where yoniso manasikara, you must have it first. Then only you can live life. Then only you can be at the moment of sense experience with the wisdom. Means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That's why that understanding will prompt you, surface you, and protect you, and let you understand. Then your mind will not stir and react like before. Then it will not condition the evil roots, the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. That's how you cultivate. That's how you free your mind. So the Buddha said, trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. Means straighten your view. Don't perceive things with delusion. with self-delusion, with wrong view, to arise a wrong thought that condition your sorrow and your lamentation, your fear, worry, and anxiety. So all these are wrong thought. Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your evil roots, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and your fear, anxiety. So all these are due to your wrong thought. So straighten your view. Develop more and more wholesome thought. Right thought. So thought is a tool. Your mind is a tool for you to use. So the user of thought is very important. If the user has wisdom developed through the third and fourth way, you become beautiful. Then thought become right thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about right thought, no more wrong thought. No more wrong thought means no more suffering, no more misery. And the teaching is so simple, so clear. Why can't you see? Why can't you understand? Do it. Realize it. Then awaken to it. Then your life transform. You will change overnight. That's why the moment you understand, you become different. You don't have to suffer. Like the Buddha says, suffering need not be. So today, the condition is very good. That's why this lesson 38 is very good. I managed to summarize for you and share with you under such beautiful condition the complete understanding and cultivation so that you know what to do. If you cannot understand after this explanation, nobody can help you anymore, because this is like very clear, very very clear. So you need to understand it, then write it down and follow step by step and do it, and you will awaken, you will become beautiful. That is what the mind is all about. So the first right effort is to abandon through the five ways. The last way is not important, huh? If all the four you cannot do, then the Buddha say, help yourself, means use your own willpower. With tongue against your palate, determined to abandon it. He refused to teach you anymore, because nobody can teach you anymore. You have to do it yourself. So this understanding is very important. So Sui has managed to find this page. You can see on the website, yeah? The Buddha teaches the five ways to overcome negative tendency or unwholesome thought. So think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. They are there. Then think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or wrong thought. Then third way, relax and maintain awareness. We are just letting speak. So this is the meditative way, born of understanding that the natural state of mind before it's stirring is already in the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And the very flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of that thought. So understand all this. Do it. Then trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought. And then retrospectively reverse it via straightening your view. Via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma. Mind Dhamma. Dhamma Nupassana. That is, we are cultivating mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free your mind. Okay? So number five, you can go and read on yourself. Huh? If all the above four ways also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha. With clenched teeth and your tongue towards your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon that wrong thought or negative thought. Okay, we go back to the second right effort. So after you have cultivated the five ways, you can have the ability to abandon the unwholesome thought. The first right effort fulfilled. Once you develop the first right effort with the understanding, then your second right effort is very simple. The second right effort is to prevent the arising of the wrong thought means through your mindfulness awareness, the moment you see the condition behind its stirring and reaction, you straight away can abandon it because you already have the initial wisdom. It cannot arise anymore. The moment you see, it loses its power, where it cannot deceive you anymore. That's why wisdom free the mind, liberate the mind. So to do the second right effort, you need the initial wisdom. You need to have some form of straightening of your views. Otherwise, you can't. Then the other two right effort is to cultivate goodness and wholesomeness. So this one is very important. After you have developed the first two right effort to deal with the unwholesome thought, then the third one is to arise or to promote and arise the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. So you have to cultivate the understanding of what constitutes right thought, right speech, and right action. All the thought that has all your virtuous thoughts, that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are all right thought. They are not just restricted to the four Brahma Vihara. The four Brahma Vihara, which is Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekkha, they are all right thought. But they are just four, where the Brahma developed such mind state. But there are a lot of other virtuous thought that are also right thought. So you need to understand them. Then only you can cultivate them or develop the ability, the right effort to arise them. So what are the other virtuous thoughts? Thought of contentment, sincerity, honesty, humility, respect, gratitude, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, blessedness. All these are virtuous thoughts, right thoughts. When you can be a blessing to all, when you have goodness, kindness, sincerity, these are all virtuous thoughts. So sincerity, honesty, gratitude, respect, contentment can help you to go a long way. Then the other one is to be appreciative of life, to be appreciative of what people has done for you, what the environment has given you, what society has given you, what your parent has done for you. So all this gratitude, philopiety, and appreciativeness, when you have all this virtue, this quality of mind state, you become beautiful. You will reap beautiful coming fruition. Because when you are kind to people, sincere, helping people, when you are appreciative of all the good things that people have done for you, then when you appreciate life, you become joyful, happy. So the karmic fruition is whatever you do will come back to you. When you give to your karmic nature. When you are kind to people, people will be kind to you. When you do your duty in future, people will do back the duty. That's why whatever you do, it will come back to you. So you treat your children well, be responsible, do your duty, take care of them, sacrifice for them, then love them, guide them. So in future, you will have parents who will do the same to you, but you neglect your duty. If you do a lot of heedless thing, nonsense, then cause them to have problem, suffering and misery, especially married couple. If you go and do all the nonsense and break your third precept and end up divorce or separation, it will cause affliction to your family members. Your parents, your in-law, your children, they are all affected. Even your brothers and sisters who care for you, who love you. So never do this. Never violate the precepts. Never commit evil. Develop wholesomeness, virtuous thought, virtuous action and speech. Kind, gentle and pleasant speeches. Action that are very, very virtuous and beautiful. You do the ennobler of precept. Instead of stealing, you become generous. You cultivate generosity. And instead of killing, you cultivate compassion. Then instead of having lust, craving to break your third precept, you must cultivate contentment, appreciative of what your wife has or your spouse has contributed towards the household, towards the family unit, to have contributed to the good condition for good life, and how they sacrifice for the family, how they help provide for the family. So develop the gratitude, the appreciativeness, and do your duty through right view, through understanding the nature's law of karma, that everything become beautiful. So the other precept is the same. You can go into it. So cultivate wholesome thought means third right effort to arise or promote the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. So go through them, write them down, and do it. Otherwise, you are not cultivating noble eightfold path factor. Then the last one, the fourth right effort, is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, and right action that you have developed. Then, finally, you have to perfect it. Refine upon and perfect it. So that all this right thought, right speech, and right action can become a part of you. You have the embodiment of all the wholesome, virtuous thought, virtuous action, and speeches. As these four right efforts are cultivated at mind level, hence they are still thought-based cultivation. So always remember, the real purification of mind is all at mindfulness level, no more at thought level. But initially, the four right efforts, they are still cultivated at the mind level, which is already very important and very useful. Hence, they are still thought-based cultivation involving effort or thought. A better way to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, and blessing is to understand that the absence of evil is by itself already good. This understanding is very important. So if you understand that the absence of evil is good, then you will come to understand why the Buddha say you have to avoid all evil. But the moment you avoid all evil, you are incapable of evil. What will happen to you? You will be good. You will be a virtuous person, isn't it? So this is a better way. Otherwise, you try to do good. Good according to whom? According to you, the individual. If you are not enlightened yet, that good is a conditioned good. That's why, before you are enlightened, don't try to do good, because you are using your own views and opinion and conditioning as the measurement for good. Good according to you may not be the real good according to nature's law. So with mindfulness, you can see all this. With wisdom and awakening, you can understand all this. Otherwise, your cultivation may go the wrong way. So all this understanding is very useful. So I will read on. With this understanding, one only needs to cultivate the stability of daily mindfulness leading to the heedfulness to constantly avoid all evil mental intention that condition one's negativity. Then there will be no more need to use the four right effort anymore. You understand that, isn't it? Yeah? When you are mindful and heedful, you are incapable of evil, you are naturally good. So the four right effort become like no longer useful. But initially as a training, you had to develop them, because before your wisdom come in, before your understanding come in, the forerunner effort is still useful. That's why it's part of the Noble Eightfold Path. And you have to develop them. Then later on, when it comes to purification of mind, that one is different. That one is all about mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness. But initially, even with the four right effort and your contemplation, the Avijja Sutta, the first seven step, you can already become either a Sotapan or a Sakadagami, an enlightened being of the first stage of sainthood or the second stage of sainthood. But mindfulness, the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8, will give rise to penetrative wisdom that will awaken you to realize anagamiship or arahantship. So that one is a more penetrative one and a more stable one. So all this understanding will be there. So we go back to the notes. To purify our mind, we need to go beyond thought, to cultivate only mindfulness or sati, or awareness, the silent mind, to see things as they are without the interference of thought, via its views, opinion, and conditioning. This is direct seeing, which is also the third turning cultivation, bhavanamaya panya, leading to the realization of the third turning wisdom, which is called bhavanamaya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, or the meditative discipline or training. At the mind level, you can still be deluded, because you must understand that your mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind. So if one acts, speaks, and thinks with a wicked mind or unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. So even though the mind Dhamma is more important than form Dhamma, one can still get trapped at mind level if one continues to be deluded by the aggregates of mind. When we identify we are form, then we will discriminate according to what we see or perceive, like male and female, old and young, beautiful and ugly, race, nationality, etc. Like I am a Chinese, I am a Malay, I am an Indian, leading to racial disharmony, discrimination via race identification with the external physical form or appearances. When we are able to see beyond form, all this discrimination or division conditioned by form Dhamma will cease to be. But then mind Dhamma can still arise to cause similar division and discrimination at mind level. We still have our own views, opinion, belief system, tradition and conditioning, etc. that can still divide and cause us to argue with one another. All this division and discrimination can only cease when we are able to see beyond form and beyond mind or thoughts, leading to the direct seeing with our true nature or silent mind within, that is seeing things as they are, leading to the understanding of what is or suchness, which is Tatata. So this one is all already explained, very beautiful. Then the Buddha explained to us clearly how we perceive form via our mental consciousness, our mundane mind. This is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So we can return all external form to mind, then mind to our pure nature within, to realize the truth of how creation or mental consciousness come to be, leading to the understanding of their universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. When you awaken, your form and mind will cease to be, and your true nature within, or your essence, will be realized as the oneness, the unconditioned, and the timeless, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The whole world is about suchness. Truth cannot be monopolized by any religion or anyone, because truth is, that is the reality, nature's law, not your truth or my truth, for they are our own opinion of truth, truth according to you and truth according to me. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are, which is nature's law. So what is the truth? Truth is Dhamma, or nature's law, that governs all of life and existence. It's pretty simple, isn't it? When you understand this, you understand life. Then the Buddha's teaching, the words, become very clear. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So what are the causes and conditions? The Buddha already explained. In the fifth daily contemplation, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So it definitely has to do with karma. Our entire life depends on karma. So when you understand that, then you can accept the reality of the moment. Truth is, the reality is, that I think it's just the way they are. Suchness, ta-ta-ta. Whatever that arises within that moment, condition is already fixed. It cannot be otherwise. If you want thing your way, which is not nature's way, then you will suffer, because when you cannot get what you want, that is the first noble truth reality. Not able to get what one desire or crave or cling on to, suffering will be the result. So all this understanding are very important and very beautiful. So if you can really slowly develop the understanding and the cultivation, you will transform, you will awaken, and you will become a blessing to all, very beautiful. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. That is what Dhamma is all about. So this is something that you have to really seriously reflect, contemplate, and go into. In fact, today, this sharing is good enough for you to cultivate. But a lot of people fail to develop the understanding because they never listen. They think they know. They only cling on to the words, the Dhamma. But the real teaching, when you understand, you transform. Your mind change immediately, not after a while. The moment you understand, you're free. That is what Dhamma is all about. Not to say, ayo, well, I know lah, but I cannot do it lah. Maybe later lah, when I retire, when I'm more free, when my responsibility is gone. All this is, the thought is telling you, not the reality, but you don't see it. When you see it, immediately you wake up, because it's your life. Why can't you see it? You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy and miserable is entirely your choice. Choose wisely. This is life and death. Why are you still waiting, procrastinating? To me, nothing is more important than understanding this. That's why in 1971, the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. I all the way reflect, contemplate, and cultivate. Then everything starts to unfold. Because it involves my entire existence. Not only this life, all my future life. I need this understanding. If I have to come to this existential world, I must come with this understanding. Otherwise, I come here to suffer. What for? That is not life. That is not what I want. So be serious about lying. Wake up. Then when you see the important, then make the appropriate right choice. If you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. Then you ask yourself that question. Why are still most human beings still unhappy and miserable? Do you mean they don't know how to choose? No, because they don't understand this Dhamma. So if you cling on to what I share as knowledge, thinking you know, you are no different from them. This is as serious as that. Because when you really understand, you wake up. Because you have been tormented and burdened by all this. Your suffering, your misery, your heedless way of living, all this, you must experience them mindfully, observe and understand what is going on. Then you tell yourself, this is not life. I don't want this type of life. Immediately you will wake up. Then you choose the heedful way of living. Then all the cultivation will come in. And to cultivate is so easy. I have listed them all out. How to start from meditation. And it's only less than 2 hours of sharing. So if you have gone through all this and really understand, you will wake up. Because one of the Kayamita came and see me recently. And she has been writing email and all those things, asking any question. Then I say, you keep on asking questions, but you never want to understand. How can you learn? You can never learn. Because you're wasting your time. If you really learn, you won't ask all these type of questions repeatedly. Well, all this is the thought. You would have listened attentively and write them down and do. Well, all the questions come from the lack of understanding. Then, initially, she always say, but till after listening to you, after what, I think I know where I went wrong. So, start to blame. I think my karma. Then after that, you know what I say? I think I got karmic obstruction. This is all your thought telling you. If you really understand what I say, you will not go back to all these things. But this is already gone. The past is already gone. Now with the new understanding, are you willing to change? Are you living your life anew? You are still the same old self. Understand now? Doing the same old thing, lamenting, complaining. The thoughts still heedlessly proliferating and doing all these things. That's why I shared with her. I said, if you're really serious about life, you better listen, go back and write it down. Understand it and change. Unless you change, your life will become the same old way. You will have suffering, misery. Have you suffered enough? If you have suffered enough, wake up. The moment you wake up, you're no longer heedless. You are no longer asleep. That's why the enlightened beings are called beings that has awakened. Means no more slumbering. No more asleep. Means when you are asleep, means like you are still dreaming. You are not really living life. So all this understanding is very, very important, very serious. That's why today there is condition. I really have to share all this. You may think I'm trying to hit hard, knock. But nothing to do with me. My duty is to share, to let you understand. After that, whatever happened is your life. Nothing to do with my nature. But I have a duty. I do my duty. Finish. And so hopefully this message can go through. But don't worry, I'm not referring to all Kayamita. But a lot of Kayamita has developed the understanding and they are progressing very well. They are doing very well. But these are people who are quite new, who has not really understood the teaching. That's why I need to share all this. Because you all should thank the Kayamita that came the other day. It's Tuesday one. I think Tuesday, huh? Tuesday. She came and see me. Then there is condition. That's why I realize a lot of people are like her. I told her you are not the only one. A lot of so-called Buddhist cultivator, knowledge-based, thought-based, all they think the same way. And they learn Dhamma wrongly. Because what has been taught to them is thought-based meditation, knowledge. No. Yeah. So all this is very useful. You have to develop the understanding, then change. The moment you understand, you will change. It's just like the analogy I gave her. If all these wrong thoughts are burning you and tormenting you mentally, like a molten red hot thing, then you dare to hold or not? You will never hold. Isn't it? And the natural thing is to put it down. Isn't it? I won't call it let go. Put it down means don't cling on to it and hold on to it and worry about it and create your own suffering. Yes, these are things that tormented you because of ignorance. So straighten your view. Means what? Attend to it with understanding. Tell yourself, if I don't change, the same old way will continue and my life is going to be miserable. Like your future is cast in stone. Suffering, misery, coming, everything. But if you have understood this teaching, the moment you decide to change over to heedful living, to a new life, you straight away free your mind. You can see that black and white, so obvious in there. If you don't hold, you will not have power to burn you, torment you, and cause you misery and suffering. So why can't you train your mind to have clarity, to develop the understanding through mindfulness? Then after that, when you understand, you can liberate your mind and free. Then you can resolve it amicably and move on. There is no such thing as real problem, real suffering. If you perceive it with negativity, without the right view and the lack of understanding, of course, it becomes a problem. But whatever happened, like the Buddha said, is the reality. Because at that moment, condition like that, things is going to be like that. Cannot be otherwise. If you understand that, then what is the problem? What is there to argue? Why project your thought and say, how can the world be so unfair? Why God is so unfair? You never ask that question when you did all those nonsense. But when you have to confront the coming friction, you complain. And who complain? The deluded mind, the thought, complain. So all this, be mindful, be aware, see it, understand it. Then that wisdom will unfold. The wisdom will surface. Then you are able, for the first time in your life, to have this clarity, to have the joy and the happiness that you are already free. Well, now you understand this teaching. When you understand, the obvious thing is you don't go back and do the old thing in a hole and make yourself miserable anymore. Yeah? Who will do that? Foolish people, deluded people. And in Mahayana term, they use the word stupid people. Stupidity, they always use this word. It may be a very harsh word, but I think it fits very well. Only stupid people will do this. Yeah. Life is so easy to understand, so obvious. Why are you not developing the understanding to just awaken and walk out of it and change over to the noble life, the good life? It's not difficult. It can be done, and many people has done it. So tonight's sharing, I hope, it will help you. Okay, we move on to the next. Sharing 1.2. According to Mahayana tradition, there are three levels of seeing mountain. So this one, last Tuesday, we have gone through. Eh? And they are, the first level of seeing is, Kan San Si San, means when you see mountain, mountain are just mountain. So this is the conventional or worldly mundane seeing. So conventional truth. Because you use your mundane mind leading to mundane, normal mundane seeing. So the mundane seeing, which is conventional seeing, is also called conventional truth. Then later on, as you cultivate, you develop the ability to silence your mind, and you can see things as they are through the direct seeing. So second level of seeing is the direct seeing. This one is no more worldly, no more conventional. This one is spiritual, spiritual seeing. So spiritual seeing is the direct seeing. We are the silent mind leading to awakening, realizing that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So this is spiritual truth. Because when you see things as they are, without the conditioning, the views, opinion from your memory to interfere, then there is no words, there is no concept. Then that thing is just the pure seeing, the pure perception. Like the baby, newborn baby, they see things as they are. That's why it's very cute. They see that reality without words. So all these are very interesting and very beautiful, very meaningful. But you need to train your mind, silence your mind, develop the inner awareness to actually have the ability to see in that way. So the direct seeing is the meditative way. When you can see with the silent mind, without the interference of thought, through memory, through conditioning, views, opinion, and belief system, you become beautiful. That's how you see things as they are. You see truth. You see reality. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality, jnana dasana. The Buddha always used this word. Jnana is wisdom, insight. N-A-N-A. Dasana means direct knowledge and vision of the reality of truth. Then we move on to the third level of seeing. The third level of seeing is, read to you. The second level of seeing in Mandarin is Kan San Pu Si San. Means when they see mountain, they say, no, there is no mountain. So that is second level. Then the third level of seeing is mountain are mountain again. Means Kan San Yu Si San. Again, now they don't go and argue anymore. They say, they go back to normalcy. That's why this is called mastery. Or ultimate seeing means supramundane seeing, the ultimate truth, go back to normalcy. So mastery means gone beyond, transcendental or suchness seeing. May you see things as they are, means to an enlightened being is the direct seeing. Yeah, he is right, no mountain. To the lay people, mundane seeing, yeah, that is mountain, no problem. Because again, you can fit in, you can accord and flow. You have returned to normalcy. You can live life like a normal human being. You no longer argue. You have gone beyond duality. You have gone beyond right and wrong. You have mastered everything. And you have the ability to understand the wisdom is so complete and profound. So seeing things as they are, after having the wisdom and can live life like normal person again, That's why people will not suspect anything, or they may think you are still an ordinary being. You can act on and flow. Then they find you very cute, very nice. Like that also can. Like that also can. No more argument. You are always at peace. So that is the ultimate level. The Buddha called it Upadhi Viveka. Means the final level of peace. Means you can be at peace under any circumstances, anytime, anywhere, any place. Okay, with this, maybe we go on to the next one. Next one is meditation. Huh? Okay, this part is quite interesting. Huh? There is a question. I used to have pain when I meditate, and now I don't have. The question is, why? Huh? A lot of funny meditator, cultivator, no pain also want to know why. So if no more pain, you should be very happy. But cultivator, the mundane mind, the what they call thinking mind, they are very, very curious. Pain also complain, no pain also complain, like rain. So anyway, I answer this cultivator. I say, you must investigate into it and find out for yourself. That's why I use the word very lightly. It is because you are more calm now. And your anapanasati cultivation has improved. And you are more relaxed and mindful now. This is a good sign of slight progress. I use the word slight. Yeah? But meditation is not about cultivating calmness of mind and having peaceful experience leading to the so-called good meditation and then jump for joy and cling on to it unknowingly. If you do that, you become gullible. The focus is meditation is about developing wisdom or awareness to be at peace with all life situations. Even when random thoughts arise, the yogi can still develop the wisdom out of it. If the yogi knows how to develop the meditative mind or the meditation, he has sati, to understand how random thought comes to be via inquiry. Why am I not peaceful? Why this thought and not any other thought? When we come to understand that we have been heedless for so long because we seldom train our mind to be in sati and we are seldom heedful, then we will understand that this mind is not peaceful because of the heedless way we have been living our life. The heedless living has conditioned habitual tendency of ceaseless thinking and reaction to sense experience, giving rise to the five mental hindrance, hence the lack of peace. If we just silence our mind via wisdom and not feed it with any more thought energy, like trying to focus or concentrate or do something to push away the random thought or the mental hindrance, then what happened? Try it and find out for yourself. You will be very surprised that the random thought will slow down on its own and then become silent and still. Naturally, this is a form of awakening and wisdom will arise. Then the yogi will suddenly understand with a lot of joy that the natural state of mind before the stirring and reaction of mind is already silent and still. So the cultivation of sati or mindfulness during meditation is not about doing with the thought, actively arising thought, but about understanding that the moment I am silent without thought, I'm already in sati or aware. That means I don't have to practice mindfulness or try to be mindful anymore. Where the practice or the trying is by the thought. When thought is active, how can you be mindful? With thought so actively doing things, how can you be aware and mindful? So just silence your mind. Then sati is automatically there. Because sati is awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought. It is just the pure awareness within, leading to the direct seeing. Sati is the silent mind, choiceless awareness of the reality, what is. So all this become very clear. Okay, so with this, I think we end, because this is lesson 38. So now it's 10:06, just nice. So we have covered this chapter. Today's sharing is very important, very useful. You can understand, you can awaken, and you will progress. Okay, we will stop here, and we will open up for comments, meditation reporting, and also Q&A, question and answer. If you have any question, you can. While I have a drink. My daughter like to share something. Let's share. Very good.
Okay, I've got something to share about the mountains are mountains, mountains are not mountains, and then mountains are mountains again. Something I gradually started to see. I think the analogy that I found most useful was, for example, things that we know, things that we see, a very basic knowledge, something like water boils at 100 degrees. If you say that is like the first understanding you have, mountains are mountains, and you take that for the truth, and you say that cannot be wrong. And then you start to understand when you go higher in altitude, water doesn't boil at 100 degrees. Then you realize there's so many conditions that make water behave a certain way. If you add salt, it also different. The pressure also makes it different. So there's so many things. Then you realize it doesn't make sense to even try and make a statement. Water boil at what? You realize, no, that it just... No, mountains are not mountains. Then, but after a while, then you realize, for you to interact with people in life, when you see kids, you have to start somewhere. So water boils at 100 degrees, you can agree. When you go into deeper discussions, what is the characteristics of water? They can discuss properties with salt, properties with pressure. I mean, you might discuss a lot of other things water can do. H2O, temperature, I don't know. You can talk about ozone, whatever. There's so many things. Water is not just a very simple subject anymore. It can be very, very profound. It can be very simple. You can mingle with all walks of life when you are more flexible that way. So that is only one example. But actually, everything we see, everything we interact with in life, like even when you just look at the fruit behind orange, you see an orange there. You say, this is orange, cannot be anything else. Some people say, this is a fruit. This is healthy. This is unhealthy. It has fiber. No. Then when you look at the end, calling it any label actually doesn't make it's a means to communicate with someone. So if you look at it at the first level, you say healthy orange. Then to some people with different conditions cannot eat orange. It's unhealthy for them. Then you realize for that kind of people, sometimes when you're at the second level of seeing, you might end up not saying anything, not doing anything. You say, do like that, don't do it, don't do anything, don't say anything. Then that is the phase of life where you have everything also no meaning for a while. Then suddenly you realize there's a third level of seeing. There is nothing wrong with seeing it anyway. Can be orange, can be healthy, can be unhealthy, depending who you talk to. Then the third level of seeing comes into play in life. So that's my sharing for the three levels of seeing in life. Thank you.
Good. So all this, you can actually come up with your own understanding. So what Sui is trying to share with you also, to make it easy for you to understand. Because conventional truth, mundane seeing, is normally not a reality. That's why it's called conventional truth, not ultimate reality. Because you have qualified it. Like she gave the example, water boil at 100 degrees. Provided we are at this atmospheric pressure at the normal altitude where we are near the equator. Yeah. But as you go up, every 300 feet, the temperature drops because the pressure drops. Then, because of difference in pressure in physics, you will understand water boils at different temperature under different condition. Means when the pressure is less, the boiling point is different. So all this you will understand. So what she wanted to share with you is at different level understanding, things become different. So different people who understand things differently, they become more sensitive. Then they will tend to initially argue with you. No, not necessary. At different altitude, water doesn't boil 100 degrees. But you didn't qualify yourself saying that under this atmospheric pressure, water will boil in at 100 degrees Celsius. So conventional truth a lot is based on what they see as a normal scene, means mundane scene. So a lot of things that is logical is also the same. We are to a normal, mundane, lay people, they think this is logical. Thought-based argument is logical. But when you really have the understanding, then you realize all this logical thing or reasoning may not be the truth. Your ultimate truth is the opposite of logic most of the time. And I have given you many examples. So a lot of people, before they understand, they think everything is so real, so like permanent, can be owned, can be grasped onto, cling onto, and own and have them. And they think loved ones are really loved ones. Their possession, their wealth, they are like so real, like you can own them. Yeah. Then they don't see the universal characteristic, the truth within. So what is happening is, when you go through life, then you experience suffering, misery. Then you realize, according to the Dhamma teaching that the Buddha has taught you, all these are impermanent. Then you get a shock. You realize, hey, I'm not what I am. I'm not a permanent unchanging entity. I don't have an entity. Where this is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So how can this one exist? If this one don't exist, then how can this one own thing and have thing? And then you start to see differently, with wisdom, the direct seeing, with understanding. Then you go beyond logic, you go beyond mundane seeing. Then you see things at different level as they are. But finally, when you awaken, you will come to understand suchness. Thing is just the way it is. There are many ways of seeing things, understanding things. So different people at different levels see differently, understand differently. Provided you have reached that level of ultimate seeing, which is returning to normalcy, you cannot echo and flow and accept the reality of the moment. You cannot have suchness seeing. Suchness seeing means see things as they are. No matter how you see, I can agree because I can experience and understand what all the different level of people see. That's why I can become normal again. And I can manifest as a living being, as a human being. And people doesn't know that you already transformed. Your nature already transformed. Unless they are also cultivated. Unless they also cultivate to that level that you are able to develop the understanding. And then when they interact with you, talk with you, discuss with you, they will come to understand that you have the understanding and the wisdom. That's why they will rejoice. So all this classification, first level of seeing, second level of seeing, and the third level of seeing, is to explain to you the intricacy of Dhamma understanding. At different level, you understand differently. So no need to argue. No need to have right or wrong. We have this duality that create misunderstanding, conflict, argument. So all this is not conducive for peace, for understanding. And before you realize the complete awakening, you can never, never go back to normalcy. You cannot have that ultimate wisdom of suchness seeing. So this is how you can understand better. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So it depends on how you develop the understanding. So Sui is trying to explain to you in layman's term and a more scientific explanation so that you can understand. Then it brings about condition for me to share deeper. Okay.
Yeah. Project. Yeah, project. Yeah, Amitabha. Yes.
Good evening, Amitabha. Yeah, project.
Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah, firstly, I'd like to comment about today's session.
Sadhu.
Actually, today's Pasutta and last, today's first day, and Tuesday one was actually very deep, you know.
Yeah, very deep, very profound.
Yes, profound. but the thing is, if you have cultivated the true mind, you can understand.
Yeah, you can understand.
But if you have not, it's a little bit chim, you know.
Yeah.
So your thoughts will go wild, you know, thinking what are you trying to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, when you try to use the mundane mind to understand, it's not easy. But
yes,
if you have been cultivating, following, it's easy actually, not difficult.
Yes, correct. So if you have cultivated correctly,
yeah,
you will understand.
You will appreciate very deeply.
It's truly very beautiful and how Brother Teo connect the Sunsiu one with the Huining poems and putting them from your own cultivation perspective.
It's
very beautiful. You put it in a way that when I read the book, I didn't really think much about it. But when you talk
explain, it's different.
Your meditation experience. Wow, I say it's so
become very beautiful. Different. Yeah, become very different.
You have different depth of
observation,
you know. Different, and it's really, really amazing. I think. Connected,
sadhu. That's why I also mentioned in the last Tuesday, this type of teaching you cannot find other place. Nobody can explain to you so deep and so clearly.
Today one
it's for cultivation. Summary of all the cultivation, very simple.
Like you say, if the serious cultivator wants to progress,
immediately they will transform. They understand this, then they decide to change. That moment, their life become different.
When they walk the path. Want to change, it's not just the words want to change.
Knowledge.
To activate the cultivation and really go and do it, you know? I will do it. You must say, I will do it, you know?
It's just like you wake up. You know, all this while, you don't understand what has been shared. You think you understand, but it's knowledge. It's Dhamma knowledge, not the real one. The moment you understand, you will wake up. Wake up means what? You won't go back to your old way because it's so different. The old way is full of suffering and misery, and you have gone through life. Why must you still go on that way? suffer not an hour, miserable not an hour, you still want to hold on to that old way, wake up, then change your life. Move over, shift over to a new way of heedful living. Then cultivate. And to cultivate is not difficult. So simple, I already lay out all the steps. How you start? Start with understanding. Meditate with understanding, the main purpose and intent. Then you will not lose focus. You will not go and do all those gullible type of thought-based meditation. But the focus is, are you training your mind to be mindful? Stabilizing it to be ever mindful? This is the focus. Then use it to meditate, to awaken, to develop the wisdom. Not all the fantastic meditation experience. For what? So all this understanding is there. Then when you are focused, you will do it correctly. Then cultivate based on understanding. Means what? If you have not trained your mind, you will be heedless. That's why the mental hindrances are there. The evils are there. Wrong view, sakayadity. So silence your mind. Observe and understand all this. Then step by step, you cultivate. And you are going to be different. You are going to transform. But the moment you understand, you have the joy inside you. You are not going back to the old way. But you are alive. See it. Value your life. Love yourself. Don't be heedless anymore. Don't be foolish anymore. That is what the real understanding is. When you understand that, you will never go back to your old way. Who will do that? Foolish people, deluded people. Now that you understand this teaching, you will never go back and become like that. True or not?
Yes, 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 very true, very true.
Yeah.
Very true. You're always very alert, you know.
Yeah. You are so sensitive inside, you don't want to suffer anymore.
Yes.
That's how you change.
Very alert, yeah. Very wakeful, you know.
Yeah. Wakeful,
totally
yes.
Different,
different, yes. Where you are serious about life already, you are very sensitive. You can never allow the old wrong view to come in and disturb you. Like you share, you are so amazed. You can see the defilement, but they have no power over you. And you saw how they condition you, and then when you understand, you like wake up. It cannot do the same old trick back again and cause you to be deluded. And
when you first saw this, right, it happened, like, wow, it's like amazing and shocking that wow, you are so powerful.
Correct. Yes.
You know, you have so much joy.
Yeah.
You know, realizing it.
Yes.
Realizing it. Wow. It's,
correct.
You know, when cultivators have this chance to realize it, it's really transforming. You know?
Sadhu. Just like in your own words, you remember? The understanding comes by itself. Build your mindfulness awareness. Once you realize that you have that stability, that one see by itself, understand by itself.
Yes, yes.
That is the amazing part. So don't try to know. Train your mind. Develop that sati, that mindfulness. Stabilize it. Then the understanding will come. You will see. You will awaken. You will understand. That's why I use the word technically. You don't need a teacher after that. Because after that, you will start to understand like what you have gone through. And a few Kayamita who has gone through, even Song De O, early on, Alicia, and many. So all these are very beautiful, very useful. Sadhu, Pucheng, thank you for
today's lesson is really, you know, very
very,
very good and
complete. Yes,
we experience it, you know, throughout the day. Like you can accord with flow. You understand from the mundane level.
Yeah,
thinking through, you know.
Correct.
You don't want to argue with them.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, understand what you're talking about.
No more right and wrong.
Yeah, no more right and wrong. You know, it's really fun. You know,
yeah. Yeah, sadhu, yes.
Yes, sadhu, thank you.
Thank you for watching. Yes. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Very good.